Imogen, thank you very much for reading those verses for us. For those who don't know me, my name is David Lee. I'm the curate, the assistant minister here at St. Peter's. Do keep that passage open in front of you. You'll find in the service sheet a little outline of where we're going. You might find that helpful to follow along with as we go through. There are also pens on the table if taking notes is a good thing for you. There's a time for question and answer after the sermon, so if you have a question that comes to mind, do jot that down and we'll have a go answering that a bit later. Well, picture the scene. Your heart is pumping, your mind is racing, your breathing is shallow, your mouth is dry, your whole body is twitchy, and as you lie in your bed staring at nothing in particular, you notice the red glow coming from your alarm clock. You lift your head, you look at it, 3:30. 3:30 in the morning. You roll your eyes, you roll over on your body, you take a deep breath, and you start to count sleep. Maybe that'll help. 1, 2, 3, 4, and then your mind wanders, and you're back worrying about whatever it was that's been occupying you all night. Well, I don't know. I don't know if you've ever had sleepless nights like that yourselves, whether it's worrying about how you're going to pay the bills, whether it's worrying about exams or getting grades to study what you want to study, whether you were right to take that new job or whether indeed you'll ever get a job. Maybe you worry about what your friends really think of you. You worry about whether you'll ever find a husband or a wife. You worry about your friends, whether they'll ever accept that invitation to come along to church, let alone become a Christian. Maybe you worry if you said the right things in that difficult conversation you were having earlier. Maybe you're worried about the implications of Brexit. Whatever it is, we can find ourselves worrying about so many things, can't we? And it's something that can be absolutely crippling. Absolutely crippling. And then you hear words from Jesus in verse 25, that question he asks of us. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? And then he answers it, since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? You hear Jesus saying that we shouldn't be worrying, and you worry about your worrying. And things get worse and worse and worse. Well, what are we to do? How does Jesus' teaching help us not to worry even more, but to worry a lot less? Well, it does that in two ways. First, it reminds us that worrying doesn't work. And then secondly, Jesus points us to the God who graciously provides for everything that we need. We're going to think a bit more about those two things in just a moment. Before we do that, let me lead us in a prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it speaks to our everyday needs and concerns. Thank you for its relevance. And Father, as we come to think about our worries, please would you help us to see that worrying doesn't work, but that you are a God who graciously provides. And if just even in the past couple of minutes worries have flooded into our heads, please would you take them away. Please would you give us concentration that we might hear you speak to us through your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. First then, Jesus reminds us that worrying doesn't work. Worrying doesn't work. We join Jesus in the middle of a conversation he's been having with his disciples and with a crowd that's gathered around him. And Jesus is speaking about the dangers of pursuing material possessions. Someone's asked a question, he's responding to that. And what he's saying is really summarized in a verse from just before our reading. If you have a look back onto the previous page, 1044, at verse 15 of chapter 12. Here's a summary of what Jesus has been saying. Then he, that is Jesus, said to them, the crowd gathered around him, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." Jesus says to those who've gathered around him, there's more to life than money. It isn't the case that the one with the most toys wins. And if that's the case, Jesus says, don't devote your lives to greedily accumulating stuff. Don't spend your time going, I want more, I want more, I want more. And with those words ringing in their ears, we get this. We get to our reading, beginning at verse 22. Jesus says to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes." And then, picking things up in verse 25, as we've heard already, Jesus asks, "Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest?" That is, why do you worry about your food and your clothing, which is what he's been speaking about. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? If we live to 70 years, which isn't completely out of the ordinary, we'll have been alive for 600,000 hours. It's a long time, isn't it? 600,000 hours. Adding one to 600,000, that doesn't seem like a very big thing, really, does it? In fact, Jesus says, verse 26, it's a very little thing. And yet, worrying, that is, being anxious, fretting, nervously, getting uptight, all those things will completely fail to do that. Worrying about how long you're going to be alive is not going to make a single bit of difference. And Jesus says, if you can't do that tiny thing, verse 26, why do you worry about the rest? Why do you worry about the bigger things? Why do you worry about your food and clothing that won't just keep you going for an hour, but for years and years and years? If you can't do this tiny thing, why do you worry about these big things? If the England football team can't beat Iceland, there's no point of them thinking about how they're going to play against Portugal or whoever it is in the final. Thinking about this earlier in the week, I originally said it's no point in thinking about playing Belgium, but much to my wife's delight, Wales knocked them out of the competition, so who knows, maybe England should start worrying about beating Wales again. If you can't do this small thing, why worry about a big thing? One lady who knew more worrying circumstances than most was a lady called Corrie ten Boom. She, along with her family in German-occupied Holland in the Second World War, sheltered Jewish people. An informer told the Nazis about what they were doing, and so she was whisked away off to a concentration camp. Well, if they aren't things to get seriously worried about, I don't know what is. And yet here's what she said about worry. Here we go. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. It doesn't help at all. It's a waste of energy that achieves absolutely nothing. But in fact, more than that, more than achieving nothing, it makes things worse. See, rather than adding to your life expectancy that hour on 600,000, it makes it shorter. Had a look on the internet earlier this week. Research published in the British Medical Journal concluded that even low levels of stress that any of us may experience can increase the risks of heart attacks and strokes by 20%. Low levels of anxiety and worry can increase your chance of a heart attack or a stroke by 20%. And then the Harvard Medical School over in the States did some other research, and they concluded that higher levels of anxiety, maybe not your everyday worries, but nevertheless not out of the ordinary, they can reduce life expectancy by 6 years. Worrying, it doesn't add an hour to your life, it can reduce it by 6 years. If worrying doesn't only not work, but makes things worse, what are we to do then? Do we just say, don't worry? Don't worry. as if that would ever help. Do we join with some people who've sung about worry? Maybe Bobby McFerrin, we could whistle along to Don't Worry, Be Happy. Maybe that would cheer you up. Or maybe we could join in with Bob Marley's Three Little Birds in singing Don't Worry About a Thing, because every little thing is going to be all right. As if some sort of unfounded optimism would be what would see us through. Well, neither of those things are any good, are they? And that's not what Jesus calls us to either. He has something much better, much firmer on which to build. Because Jesus, he points us to the God who graciously provides for all our needs. And to help us see how God provides for us, Jesus draws two comparisons with nature. The first comes in verse 24. Have a look at that with me and I'll read it for us. Jesus says, "Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds." Jesus said, if God will provide for the ravens, then of course he'll provide for you. Now, in London here, we quite like ravens. You may have even seen them at the Tower of London. And if you're a royalist, you might particularly like the ravens. You might go along with a legend that says, if the ravens ever leave the tower, then the kingdom will fall and disaster will spread. So we're very happy to see the ravens at the Tower of London. But in Jesus' day, people didn't like the ravens. They were the bottom of the pile. They were just like this fella in our next picture. Don't know if you saw this story a few weeks ago in the press. It turned out the rat wasn't quite as big as Tony Smith said it was. But it was still, someone's worked it out, still 2 foot long. 2 foot long rat that Tony Smith found. He was a gas worker while he was working at a block of flats in Hackney Down. You wouldn't want to come across a giant 2 foot rat, would you, just outside your flat? Not a nice thing to come across. It was already dead by the time that Tony found it, but it had clearly eaten well in its lifetime. If Jesus were around today, he might say this. He might say, consider the rats, the giant rats of Hackney Down. They do not sow, they do not reap, but God feeds them with lots of leftovers from the garbage bins. And if God provides for the rats on the estates of Hackney Down, the rats who no one likes, who are the bottom of the pile, of course he'll provide for you. You are much more precious than rats. Good words to hear, aren't they? You're more precious than rats. Well, there we go. If he feeds the ravens, Jesus' second example is all about the grass. Have a look with me at verse 27. Consider how the wild flowers grow, Jesus says. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? We had a wedding here in church yesterday. That's why we have the ivy and the flowers wrapped around the pillars, while there's that wonderful arch of flowers over the doors as you came in. A great chance to talk about the splendor of flowers. They've wilted a little bit even over the course of today, but beautiful flowers sticking out of the foliage, showing how God adorns the grass of the field, adorns the foliage that grows wild. The way God clothes the grass of the field is spectacular. It's quite something. And yet that grass, that vegetation, it's a fleeting thing. These looked great this evening. They looked even better this morning. They looked splendid yesterday. And yet on Tuesday, the florist will come and rip them down and throw them in the bin. They're here today and gone tomorrow. And the point Jesus is making here is this: if God cares for plants that are around for a little while, if he clothes them wonderfully, then of course he'll clothe you. Of course he'll provide what you need. If he feeds the raven, if he clothes the grass, why worry? Why worry that he'll provide, that he won't provide for you? And so Jesus goes on, verse 29, speaking to his disciples, he says, do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things. And yet your Father knows that you need them. Don't worry, Jesus says, not because, and he doesn't stop there. He doesn't say, don't worry because you just need to be happy. He doesn't say, don't worry, there's nothing to be concerned about. He says, don't worry, God, your heavenly Father, he knows what you need, and he is more than able and more than willing to provide. Jesus says, don't be like the pagan world, that is those who don't know God as their heavenly Father, because they worry about such things. They have no one to trust. You're not like that, Jesus says to his disciples. We're not to worry because we have someone who we can trust. In the Bible, worry and trust are opposites. Trusting God means that we have no need to worry. There are complete other opposite ends of the spectrum. And so Jesus here, he invites us not to worry, but to trust. To trust the God who can provide for us. And so if we're racked with worry, if seeing our alarm clock at 3:30 in the morning is a constant struggle, it may be there's a problem with our relationship with God. And maybe we don't know him as our Heavenly Father at all. There's no basis for that relationship of trust. Or maybe we do know him. He is our Heavenly Father. We delight in that in our good days, and yet we've forgotten all that he's promised to give us. We've stopped trusting him. We're not to worry because worry doesn't work. We're to trust the God who graciously provides. But what does that look like in practice? How do we do this day in, day out? Well, Jesus tells us, verse 31, Jesus says, seek his kingdom and these things will be given to you as well. Seek his kingdom and these things will be given to you as well. Jesus, he says, we need to make a conscious decision day by day to make God's kingdom the priority in our lives. Now, don't get me wrong, don't mishear me. We still face those everyday concerns. We still need to eat, of course. We still need clothes to wear. But he says, if you make that conscious decision to make God's kingdom your priority, so naturally all those other things, they'll fall into their proper place. And so as we do this, as we seek his kingdom, we'll come to know that we're free from the need to run after material things, because we know that God will provide for us. As we seek his kingdom, we can therefore live in a way that shows there's more to life than money, more to life than possessions. We can hold loosely to our things. We can be generous with them. And as we seek his kingdom, of course, we're seeking the king. That's the most important thing, isn't it? And so we're not just to trust him with our possessions, but with our whole lives. When you go to work on Monday morning, you're to trust him with your career. You're to seek his kingdom before seeking your reputation. You're to seek his kingdom before giving every hour of every day to completing that project. When your health is failing you, when things aren't going well, you're to seek his kingdom in that, to trust him in tough times when you're not well. I guess it's easier for us when we're largely a younger group this evening, but the time will come when we're facing death, and it will be hard to trust him in those times, and yet we're to seek his kingdom then as well. Many other things we could talk about, and it may sound negligent to do things this way around. It may sound like you're being incredibly heavenly minded, but that helps you nothing on earth. But Jesus doesn't say that is the case, because he says, as you seek his kingdom, all these things will be given to you as well. All these things will be given to you as well. Your loving Heavenly Father, whose kingdom you're seeking, he knows what you want. He knows what you need, rather. And so he'll graciously provide for you. He's able, he's willing to do that. And so Jesus invites us to trust him by seeking his kingdom and seeing that all these things will be given to us as well. Jesus asks, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? And a moment's reflection is clear. Well, no one can do that. Because worrying, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. But Jesus gives us something much better. He gives us something that does work. He says, if you trust God, who will graciously provide for your needs, things will go much better. And so I'm going to lead us in a prayer asking for God's help, that we might trust him and be free from worthless worrying. Let me pray. Father, we thank you again for the truth of your word. Thank you for how it speaks to us. Father, for those of us who are worrying right now, please help us to see the folly of that. Father, for all of us, no doubt worries will come, days will come when we're hit by worries. Please help us to see, to remember on that day that worrying doesn't work. And Father, whether in good times now or in bad times now, good times in the future, bad times in the future, please help us to trust you, our gracious Heavenly Father, that you might provide all that we need. Help us to seek your kingdom. Help us to trust you for our everyday needs. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.